Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
The title of this message is, "What Do You Know?" Now, that could be punctuated with a question mark or with an exclamation point. Because we could say, "Well, what do you know?" Question mark. Or we could say, "What do you know?" That would be kind of an exclamation point. I was with my precious wife and daughter in Florida. It was a very sweet time. And one of the days that we were there, my daughter suggested she wanted to take my wife to pay to have their nails done. I thought that was a lovely thing, and so I agreed to drive them to the nail salon. And when we got there, it was a rainy day, so I decided I would pull up to the curb right outside the strip shopping center where the nail salon was located. I was just discharging my passengers when a white Honda Accord, recent year, came up behind me and laid on the horn. I mean, like, bah! I mean, this woman would not stop honking. I mean, she was just blaring. Then she pulls up next to me, and I put my window down. She put her window down, and she said, $250 fine. The police come by here and they'll get you for that." She apparently had concluded that I was about to park in the lane where traffic is supposed to be able to go by, not realizing that I was simply discharging passengers and then going to go park the car. But she had not correctly understood the situation, and filled with self-righteous anger, she was letting me have it, and she used words that I won't use in church or out of church. Apparently, being a senior citizen doesn't always clean up your mouth. Now, my wife and daughter were a bit upset about this because they didn't like to see their beloved husband and father being verbally abused, even if it was by a senior citizen of the female gender. I didn't really get angry. I did get, you know, alert. And I said to her, "I'm not parking here." I said, "I'm just letting my wife and daughter out of the car." And she didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood." Instead, she just said some more things I can't repeat and then drove off. And no, I didn't take down her license number and didn't report her and didn't chase her, didn't get out of the car. But instead I thought, you know, I don't ever want to be that person. Not only do I not want to use that kind of language, but I don't want to jump to conclusions about what other people are doing and then thinking that I know what's really going on here and it's not okay. Let other people have it. I'm sure that none of you have ever been guilty of jumping to conclusions and falsely accusing someone and that sort of thing. I have. I've been wrong on more than one occasion in my life, as some of those who know me could repeat. But the fact of the matter is, I went off and had a nice conversation with the Lord about wanting to be careful not to assume that I know something that I don't know. What do you know? What do you know? We just had the opportunity in this country to see a phenomenal event. when the moon blocked out the light of the sun. And people not only saw the darkness, they felt the immediate drop in the temperature. As soon as the sun was blocked out, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but until the whole sun was blocked out, it still wasn't dark. It was not as bright, but a little bit of sunlight goes a long way. Isn't that amazing? Those of you who saw that, did it do something inside? Were you moved by the fact that there are things that are so much bigger than we are? God put the sun and the moon in the heavens for signs. That's what he says in Genesis chapter 1. And let me tell you, one of the results is that every honest person on the planet, from the first person forward, has known that there is a greater being. Everybody, everywhere, down deep, knows that. You can't not know that except willful ignorance. If you want to go la 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 la, you can make yourself look like an idiot as you try and block it out. But the reason that in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God is because anybody who says there is no God is willfully ignorant. They're not just ignorant, they're ignorant on purpose. They are turning a blind eye to something that is absolutely obvious, unmistakable. Folks, God designed the creation in such a way that it is very clear that there's a creator. In Romans chapter 1, we're not in just one passage this morning. We're going to look at a number of passages. Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul talks about this beginning in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You see, this is at the heart of every other religion, including the religion which is truly observed by many who call themselves Christians. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. No one can serve two masters. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, tells them, don't be deceived. The sexually immoral and the greedy, and he lists a number of other folks too, but he includes greed in that list. He says, and the greedy, because that's idolatry, will inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to have any part in the kingdom. The pattern of humanity is to worship the creation. God put our parents in paradise and said, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees except that one. And what did they do? They put their desire for that ahead of their desire for him. And then ran from him. It's not a new problem. This is the human problem from the start.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding so, out his hand. Psalm 19 tells us the heavens are declaring, they're telling the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. Night after night reveals knowledge. There's no place on earth and no language on earth where their voice is not heard. Everybody, everywhere has a witness to the reality that there is a God who created us. You can't escape it except by deliberately trying to blind your eyes to it. The creation points to him. But you know what? That's not enough to save you. If you decide, okay, well, yeah, it's pretty obvious this didn't all happen by chance. I believe there's a God. I believe that. Yeah, I'm convinced. You know, there's got to be somebody up there likes me. I'm really grateful that the big man in the sky cares about people here on earth. I don't understand a lot of things. I'm not a religious person, but I would definitely say there is a God. James says, you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe that there's a God. The creation reveals enough that we are all guilty. That's what it shows. It doesn't provide a way out of our guilt. It simply exposes the fact that there is a God and we are all guilty. So now you know enough to go to hell. Thanks, Pastor. You always encourage me. I come here just not sure how I'm going to face the week, and you just grind my face right into some passage. Well, hey, this isn't the end of the message. I have really good news. Jesus came to save sinners. No matter what we've done, no matter how grievously we have sinned, God offers not a partial payment, but payment in full. He died in our place so that we could be forgiven and have new life. In Acts chapter 17, we have the record of Paul's message in Athens when he preached to people who came like we do from an idolatrous culture. Take a look at Acts 17, beginning in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he's given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Amen. What is Paul saying to these people? He's saying your idolatry is based on ignorance. Now let me tell you the truth. God is not going to overlook that kind of ignorance any longer. He's commanding all people everywhere to repent.
Well, what about people who've never heard?
Well, we better go tell them. Do you understand that God does answer our questions in his word? He commands all people everywhere to repent. Because the day is coming when there's going to be judgment, and Jesus has already been established as the one who will judge. Scripture makes it abundantly clear. Not only is judgment coming, not only is the resurrected Jesus Christ the one who will judge, but the only way a person can be saved is by believing in him, by trusting in him, by receiving him. Look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. In order for a person to be saved, they have to hear the good news. How will they call upon him of whom they have not heard? They can't call on Jesus to save them if they don't know about Jesus. That's why we have a responsibility to tell people about Jesus. But in order for a person to be saved, they have to believe. There is no salvation apart from the preaching of the gospel. Can't find it from Genesis to Revelation. So what about Old Testament people? They were covered by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which was foreshadowed in the sacrificial system that goes all the way back to the time of Cain and Abel. Do you remember? Throughout human history, God said, this is the way you're to worship because you deserve the death penalty. Well, what if instead we just like to bring you some fruit and stuff? Some of the really nice produce that we grew this year. That was Cain's idea. God did not receive that. Blood sacrifice was required by God because a blood sacrifice was the way that God had ordained for our salvation. The life is in the blood, God said. And only through Jesus' death on the cross is it possible for us to be forgiven. That's our only hope. But it's also the only hope of people who haven't heard yet, and we have a responsibility to get that message to them. So there are things that are obvious to everybody, like the fact that there's a God. And then there is that which is only revealed in the gospel, and that is how to be saved. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Jesus, having come to his own and having been rejected by them, assures us through his word that as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And you need to see all three of those things that it says about us. First of all, we believe. We conclude that this is so. God opens our eyes to see the truth, and we recognize this is true. But if you really believe that Jesus is the Savior, if you really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you really believe that he is alive, you can't just treat him as some historical figure that you believe in. Intellectually, yes, I believe that he actually was the Messiah. Do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, yes, I think the evidence is overwhelming. When was the last time you talked to him? What? You need to receive him. Don't just believe it intellectually, receive him. And when you receive him, when you put your trust in him, when you start treating him like the living Lord that he is, do you know what happens? He gives you the power to become children of God. And so it's not just what do you know? It's whom do you know? The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, is talking about his own suffering and persecution, and he says, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, it wasn't just a matter of knowing doctrine. I know what I believe. Well, good. It's a matter of knowing him. Do you know him? Not just do you know about him. I know a lot about my great-grandfather. But I've never met him. You know why? He died before I was born. About a half a century before I was born. So I know about him, and I feel like I know him, but truth be told, I don't really know him. I could teach about him. I could do a course on him, on his life, his upbringing, his beliefs, his mannerisms, all kinds of things. I've heard what other people say about him, but I don't know him. Let me tell you something. I know Jesus. He's alive, and you can know him too. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Are you trusting in Jesus today? What do you know? Do you really know him? He is alive, and he is here, and he knows everything about every one of us. And if you feel like he's a million miles away, say, Jesus, I feel as if you're a million miles away. I know that's not true. Help me know you better. Let me tell you, it's not about our feelings. It's about a fact. Jesus Christ is alive. He's real, and he loves you more than you can imagine. He does. He loves you more than you can imagine. Cry out to him. Ask him to help you know him better. You can do that. I don't know what kind of problems you're going to run into this week, but wouldn't it be nice to know that whatever you run into, the creator of the universe who's already conquered death on your behalf is right there. He's not a phone call away. He lives in and through us. You see, the final thing about knowing is when we know him, when we really know him, the mystery that was hidden for ages is now revealed in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what it's all about. And folks, nothing compares.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.